but the
okay, we'll try to check that out.
It's all good. And it was interesting.
You know what, I'm going to just borrow this thing here. So that, oh, we'll talk about it later, yes, of course. I just want to get started. That's okay. Okay. So we're here on Daf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. And we gave a number of reasons as to why the Torah requires Peah at the end of the field. And we're now up to Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Rafida Amar Rav Huna, which you'll see approximately six lines down from the top. Ner sheyesh la shnei pios. So we're talking about a ner. You know, the word ner means the receptacle in which we put, into which we put the oil. And now he can put two psilos, because it has two openings, one on the right side and one on the left side. So he puts two wicks, and now he has two wicks that are both drawing from the same oil. Now, if it's his own mitzvah, let's say, for example, he wants to be mekayim the mahadrin, which is ner l'kol echad v'echad. So let's say he has one other member of the household. It's he and his wife. So this would be a perfect situation, because he would light both of these wicks, and that would be fine. But here's a case where there are two different people, and they both want to be yotzei the same mitzvah from the same ner. So shall we say it all depends upon the wicks, and each wick is considered like a ner unto itself? And even though both of these wicks are drawing their oil from the same source, from one receptacle, but nevertheless, each wick is considered a ner unto itself. Or do we say no, that in this case, you really have only one ner, because it's drawing from one source and one receptacle. The oil is all located in the one receptacle. So in this case, Rav Huna says, Ola l'shnei b'nei Adam. You can have two people that fulfill their mitzvah even though there's one ner, but because they're two psilos, that's enough. So let's take a look at Rashi for a moment. Rashi says, shtei pios. This is about seven lines down from the top. Shaneros shalahem shal cheresein. Their receptacles were made of china. Umechusim. And what would they do is they would have a hole for the psila, and then they would put a cover on top of it. And this is the way they protected the oil. And he says, the osim lo nekev bitside kisuyo. On the sides of this covering, they had openings. And what they use those openings for? Lahachnislo hapsila. And each one of these openings, they would put a wick. Vehu hapeh. And that's called peh in singular, or pios in plural. Ulamala bikisuyov. Yesh nekev katan. And Rashi says there's also a small opening on top. Vegam chalal yesh lamala min akisuy. Umemela umemalo b'shemen. So he says there's like a, in other words, it looks like, I have a picture of it here, maybe we'll send it around, but basically it means that there's a hollow indent in the middle of this ner, and that's where they put the oil. There was a nekev katan, and therefore when they poured the oil into this opening, it would go through the nekev katan, and that would fill up the shemen in the entire nair in this receptacle. So now, since he has a pair on the right side and a pair on the left side, and he puts a psila in each one of these two pios, therefore he has what's called two Neros. Why is this called two Neros? What is the bearing or the significance of the two Neros? So I told you, but never trust me, I told you that it's in order for two different people to fulfill their mitzvah. Rashi says something different. Says Rashi, Im yesh bo shnei nekovim mishnei tzadov, ole l'shnei b'nei adam, says Rashi, l'mahadrin ha'osim ner l'chol echad v'echad. In other words, according to Rashi, this breakthrough of Rav Huna, that you could have one ner, you know, it's one receptacle that has oil in it, and you could have two people fulfilling their mitzvah with one ner, Rashi says that's only as far as the Mahadran is concerned. In other words, there are two people in this household, and we want to be Yotze for both of them. The one is really Yotze for both of them. You don't need both of them, but we have a Mahadran of called Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. So Rabosai, what would Rashi say apparently about a case of two different people who want to be Yotze? They're Iker Achiv, not the Mahadran, but the main mitzvah of one Ner per person.
But it's in one bias.
Wait 1 second, you're ahead of me. I'm just asking. I'm sorry. I just want to know the following. Rashi says that you can only fulfill the Mahadran. I'm asking the following question: would Rashi allow two people to be Yotze their chiyuv of Ikar Mitzvah? Rashi goes out of his way to say it's Mahadran. Now, what would be a mitzius? What would be a scenario in which two people want to each fulfill their Ikar Mitzvah? So let me give you two possible scenarios. One scenario would be if I have in mind that I don't want to be Yotze with your Ner. I want to be Yotze with my Ner. And this touches on a question that I think we've addressed here. If not, I did it maybe in the later class, I don't remember, about what's the nature of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Is it what's called a Chofetz Gavra or is it a Chofetz Bias? I'll try to explain this. We've touched on it in the past, but let's call it a Chofetz Gavra. Chofetz Gavra means that every individual has to light an Ner Chanukah. It could be that you could light an Ner Chanukah on my behalf, but I have to fulfill my obligation of an Ner Chanukah. In the case of an Achsanoi, for example, of a guest, we said that he has to fulfill his obligation. And the question is it enough for him to light a candle in someone else's house? So if we assume, not Chofetz Bias, meaning that there's no obligation, we can alleviate every person of his individual personal obligation, we can say that as a group we light, that's called the Chofetz Bias, but no, we're going to assume now Chofetz Gavra. Then what happens if you're lighting in my house, and I have in mind I don't want to be Yotze with your candle? Why don't I want to be Yotze with your candle? Because the Mahadran, I want to have my own candle. Are you with me now? In other words, technically, I could be Yotze, and everyone could be Yotze vicariously through the lighting of one person. But in the case of Mahadran, at least according to the Ramah, we discussed it in two shittas in Mahadran, but the Ramah shittah in Mahadran is that everybody should light their own candle. So if I want to be machmir for the Mahadran of the Ramah, I want to light my own candle, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm not going to be Yotze with your adlok. I want to light my own candle. And the poskim, for example, say that if a man is away from his house and his wife could light on his behalf at the time, he's going to get back at midnight. And he decides, you know what? Even though my wife could fulfill the mitzvah on my behalf, I'd rather fulfill it myself because I want to be mahadir as a mitzvah. I want to personally light the ner. So the poskim say in such a case, he has to have in mind that he doesn't want to fulfill his mitzvah through his wife. And he has what's called kavanah shel lotzes. So let's imagine one scenario. I'm going to give you another possible scenario where one of the, we'll call it Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is going to light the ner, and Shimon says, you know what? I want to light my own ner. I want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Hidur. I don't want to be Yotze with Reuven's ner. So now it comes out that since Shimon has excluded himself from fulfilling his obligation via Reuven's hadlaka, Shimon now has a basic chiyuv, what we call the Chofetz Gavra, of Ner Yishu Besov, of the original Ner, the basic Ner. And Rashi seems to say no, that this whole discussion here of Huna allowing two people to be Yotze with one Ner, because they're two Pios, only applies to the Mahadran. But what happens if I want to be mahadir as a mitzvah and I don't want to be yotze with you a mitzvah?
So that's the mahadir. That is mahadir.
Again, that's not the mahadir of Rashi. The mahadir of Rashi.
Why is the mahadir of Rashi different?
The mahadir of Rashi means that I want to have an extra candle for another person in the house. Not that the other person doesn't want to be yotze his chiyuv. It's just a heeder to have an extra candle, right? Ner l'chol echad v'yechad. So Rashi says we can count this as two neros for ner l'chol echad v'yechad in order to be mekayim the heeder mitzvah. But what would Rashi say if I have explicit kavana not to be yotze with your candle, and therefore my in order to be mahadir as a mitzvah, I now want to get back to the ikar mitzvah?
Why shouldn't I
depend? And I don't know if I could be yotze with that.
It depends if it's considered to be a ner. In other words, two wicks coming out of the same oil. It's considered to be two nerot. Then what difference should it make if each guy's lighting with his own bracha, he's doing the ikar.
Right.
So but otherwise, you're saying it's not a proper.
So what I'm suggesting is that maybe Rashi holds that in the context of ner l'chol echad v'echad, it means that all the bnei abayis are being yotze with this ner, and now I can count the mahadrin, meaning I have to show and demonstrate that there are two people in the house, right? That's ner l'chol echad v'echad. And I can do so if there are two wicks in the same ner. But if two people have a chiyuv, they can't share the same ner.
Why not? But that's my question. Is it one ner with two wicks, or is it two nerot?
That's a very different question. It's a different question.
So I'm just suggesting.
Why? What's the mahadrin also is you have to light a candle.
Well, no. So Rashi might be talking about something else. Rashi's talking about a mitzvah where one person is lighting and he's lighting kimahadrin, meaning he's counting the number of people in his household, and each person would have a corresponding ner. So Rashi says it's such.
That's one person lighting.
Right.
One.
But if I want to light my own candle because of the Ramah Shita, and therefore I have to have kavanah that I'm not yotze, so now it comes back to my Iker Mitzvah. Can I dip in my Iker Mitzvah into your net?
Again,
that's what I don't know.
In my mind, if it's considered two different nerot, two people can be, not yotze, but two people can have the Iker on it. You know, what if you put 3 wicks in?
But I thought that Rashi was quoting the Mahadrin, deliberately, only for the sake of adding something to the mitzvah. Notice there's only one adlaka here. But when I'd light two neros, then that adlaka gets upgraded to the status of adlaka's Mahadrin.
Okay.
But if I have two chovas gavras, and Reuven is chayiv on his own, and Shimon is chayiv on his own.
What?
Like, let's say, for example, this is going to be my second scenario. Suppose Reuven and Shimon are not related. They're both they're roommates, and they both pay rent. Reuven lives in his room and Shimon lives in his room. They don't have shared finances. There's no Samachal Shulchan Ovid. So the halacha beso doesn't apply anymore, but we both happen to be in the same house. So I'm just wondering, Reuven has his chiyuv, Shimon has his chiyuv. Can they now join together in one there and both be yotze simply because they're two pios? I don't know. That's not a case of mahadrin. That's a case of ikar achiv. I just wanted to answer Michael's question. Go ahead,
no,
Michael.
I was going to say that. I mean, that to me may cause another problem. You have to presumably in advance agree with all the people in the room who's doing what, because otherwise you could have two people in the room and three candles on the first night, because the first person lights two candles because he thinks he's being yotze Shimon, and then Shimon says, "No, I want to do my own." So now you've got three candles with two people.
I would ask you a question a little bit differently. In such a case, would the second candle that Reuven, the first guy, lit have a status of an Ner Chanukah?
But Shimon hasn't got in mind.
Right. If Shimon had in mind, I don't want to be yotze with Reuven. But I don't think any tragedy happens. We have to know what happens to the second candle. Like, for example, also
l'shtamish
yotze. I
just like a scenario. This one. Katshem, and we happen to place it between two houses. We got two neighbors.
Ooh, that's going to come up in the Gemara soon.
Okay,
right.
So how would Rashi look at that?
Right. That's going to be a big question, because you remember that we had Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about where to light the Ner Chanukah. So if the Ner Chanukah has to be in Rishus HaRabim, that's one thing. But if it could be in a Chatzer, that's another thing. So we're going to have a case where two people have continuous homes, and there are two POs, and the question is whether each home could be yotze. So we'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem. That's going to be the big sugya of Rashi.
But that would explain, looking at that, how Rashi looks at that, which should answer this.
Right. It could be that Rashi, many different Rashis really fit into one pattern. But I'm just suggesting the following possibility, that when Rashi went out of his way to introduce the Mahadran here, he's basically saying that this upgrade, so to speak, that Rav Huna is recognizing the both POs for the mitzvah of the Chanukah, that's only a din in Mahadran. And it's only relevant to the Mahadran. But let's say I'm not a Mahadran, I have my own personal chiyuv, then Rashi might say that you have to have your own nair. We can only share the same nair because we both belong to the same bias, and the heder mitzvah of nair l'chalech v'echa could be fulfilled with one nair. Otherwise, I'm perplexed why Rashi had to introduce Mahadran over here. Even without Mahadran, we could have various scenarios in which I have to know if not only Reuven can be yotze in this one nair, but even Shimon can be yotze because it's a second psila. Amar Rava Mila Ka'arav Shemen V'Kifua Psilos. In other words, until now we were talking about a case where there are two POs, one on the right side and one on the left side, and they put a wick in each pair, but they're separated clearly one from each other. What happens if I put, if I drill holes all the way around the periphery of this nair, and I put as many psilos as you could imagine? So now what's going to happen is the problem now is that not only are all these wicks drawing from the same source, the same oil and the same nair, but it's even more complicated. Because on top of the, what comes out of the psila? Well, what is the ultimate goal of lighting the psila? Anybody know what that's called? The flame itself? Shalheves. Okay, that's called the shalheves. Now, in the case of the shalheves, the Gemara insists that each person has to have his own shalheves. There's not a flame that could be common to all of us. So the Gemara says in the name of Rava Kafal of Kli, if he takes a utensil and he covers all the different POs in such a way that each pair is now separated and each shalheves is separated, so you have X number of flames, Ola Lakama Bnei Adam, then again according to Rashi Shita, it could be a Mahadran for many different people, and it's Ne'el Chalecha V'Echa Lo Kaf Alecha Kli. If he hasn't covered it, Asa Kemin Midura, then the shalhavot, the various flames, now mischaros yachad, they begin to, intermingle or integrate into one great flame. And afilu li adam echad na yeni ole. It's not even good for one person, says Rashi.
Because wouldn't I put the flame out?
Well, no. He covers it before he lights it. In other words, so the covering just separates each psila, it gives a distance between each psila, and now when he lights each psila, it has a separate flame. So that's okay. But if all the flames join together, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Asa kimedura, sha'esh mischaberes liemtzaisa v'ena doma l'ner." And the fact that Rashi adds these three words, "Ena doma l'ner," indicates that even for one person he can't be yotze because he doesn't have a nair. So a nair has to be one psila with one flame. But if you have two psilos and each one of these two wicks is burning, and now the flame is one flame from these two wicks, then that's called a madura, and he's not yotze. Madura is not considered a nair. This is a little bit paradoxical because in another context we could say that the Torah, the Halacha, requires for the mitzvah a madura, and that's called the Ner Havdol. In the Ner Havdol, in contrast to Ner Chanukah, what we need is a madura. Now, what is the... when a person sets up various psilos in the same Ner, drawing from the same oil, is there a shiur, is there a certain minimum amount of distance that he has to establish between one wick and the other? So this is a discussion in the Ran and other Rishonim. The Ran says that you need a separation of one psila from another psila of a shiur etzba. Okay, etzba is aleph, tzadi, beis, ayin. And once you separate with an etzba, then we assume eino nases kimidora. Now, the Chiddush of the Ran is that in such a case that he separates the psilos one from the other, kishir etzpa, then even if he wasn't kofa ola es akli, nevertheless, we yotze for kama b'nei adam. And the tour is going to disagree with this, but let's just understand the Ran first. So again, according to the Shitas Aran, it comes out that you have two options in the case of hikifua psilos in order to be machshir for kama b'nei adam, and the Chanukah candles will be valid. One option is kofalei masakli. If each psila is separated from the other one, from its neighbor, by the kli itself that separates it, that's enough. But even in the absence of a kli, if you separate one psila from the other by an etzpa, shir of etzpa, that itself accomplishes the same goal as kofalei and kli. So the Torah asks the obvious question. He says, okay, you separate it by an etzpa. That, under normal circumstances, should set up different flames. But maybe the flame is so intense that even if you separate it by an... In other words, according to the Torah, this issue of how much of a separation you make from one psila to another, in a case where there's no kli, is totally academic, it's hypothetical. Let's just see, is there one shalheves, meaning there was a chibur of all the shalavos, or each shalheves remained separate? You can have a thick psila, and even though it's separated, but the flame is very intense, and at some point it'll join together. So the fact that you separate it by an etzpa doesn't guarantee that it won't become one shalheves, and it won't become a madura. So Sfaseris adds the following. I'll just read to you what he says. He says, Madura psula l'ner Chanukah misvara. The Gemara never says that they established, when they enacted the mitzvah of their Chanukah, that a Madura is possible. So why is a Madura possible? There's a logical, compelling reason. Shamadlik Madura nire sha'ose zos l'kidei l'ha'ir. V'eino nikar shemadlik l'shem mitzvah. So what concept is the Sfasemes activating here that we've seen over and over again in Hilchus Chanukah? Hekera, right? Hekera means I have to make it crystal clear that I'm not lighting this for my own purposes, but rather I'm designating this for the mitzvah. Remember, we discussed about adding another candle. We discussed about not enjoying the benefits of the candle. We discussed the case where he's holding the candle in his hand. We had many different halachas which reflected the requirement of hekera. Comes to Sfasemes, and he wants to put this invalidation in the case of Madura into the same category. And if he has a torch, so to speak, a flame that's made up of many different wicks, that looks like he's doing it in order to illuminate the room. It's only when he lights one single candle that gives it the hekera that it's a ner shel mitzvah. Okay. Now he quotes the Avbezdin of Pinsk. I don't know if you ever heard of a city in Litva that's called Pinsk. His name was Rav Horovitz, Eliezer Menachem Horovitz, and he writes that Masha Omru Sha'afli Achar Sheino Ola. Afli Echarina Ola, that even one person is not Yotze. Hainu bi ofen shed liku kama b'dei adam es kol aneros bevasachas. Amal imid liku bazachar ze. Ha adam arishon shehidlik yotzi yedei chovaso because kovsa ein zokiklo. So watch what happens now. According to the Chiddush of the Avbezdin of Pinsk, whether or not there is any validation for this Ner Chanukah, it depends on the following two scenarios. Scenario number one is where all the people who are trying to light the candles lit simultaneously. It means there was never a second in time when any one of the various pios was a separate Ner. And then, in that case, no one fulfills the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Afilu ena olu l'odamecha. Now we have scenario number two. It was bazechar zeh. Now, if it's bazechar zeh,
which means what?
one after the other. So Reuven lit his candle first. At this moment in time, for at least a split second, until Shimon lights his candle. Shimon is the neighbor over here, and right, he has his psila right next to him. Then Reuven fulfilled his mitzvah, because at that moment there is an individual nair. Even though 1 second later it's going to lose its status as a nair and it becomes a madoro, but nevertheless, we paskin kofsa ein zakakla, which means if you light a nair Chanukah and immediately afterwards the wind comes and blows it out, then you fulfilled your mitzvah.
Why isn't it a madoro? Why is it?
They're
separate.
Not yet.
It hasn't yet become Madura. If they lit it simultaneously, it's a Madura.
Why?
Because all the flames connect to one flame. But if you did it by Zachar Zeh, so when Reuven lit it, he had a flame onto himself. So Shimon's flame now, afterwards, 1 second later, connects to Reuven's flame, and we have Madura.
What do you mean by connect?
I don't know what word I should use. In Hebrew, it's called lechaber. How would you translate that into English?
Join together.
To join?
The case where
that's better than connect?
Together.
Oh, they're too close. You're talking about where they're very close together.
Yeah. We're talking about our Gemara.
So
he comes
first
along
with
Pinsker and he says, our Gemara says that in Madura, eino yotze afilu echad. No one's yotze. So you and I would think that that's a general rule. He says, no, that's an exceptional case. Where the Gemara says no one's yotze, that's a weird kind of case. It's a fluke. What do I mean by fluke? We set it up, you know, on your mark, get set, go. And we shot off a gun, and all these people, let's limit it to Reuven and Shimon, but again, you can multiply it. These people, Reuven and Shimon, both lit the nair at the same time. So immediately when the nair was lit, it was a madora, because the two flames, yeah, I don't know what word to use, joined, connected, whatever word you want to use. However, in a normal case, where we gather together as a group, and we have this one nair with many POs, multiple POs, and we set up a sequence in which Reuven will light his first and Shimon his second. So Shimon can't be yotze, because the very moment that Shimon lit it, it linked up and joined with Reuven's candle. So that's a madora. But Reuven, when he lit it at time T1, at that moment it was a single candle. Now you and I might think that that's pshita. Why do I make a big deal about this? Because this is going to incur the wrath of many of the poskim, and they're going to say no. Even in this case of Bazachar Zeh, where Reuven lit his candle first and then Shimon second, you're not yotze. And why is that?
Reuven's not yotze.
Even Reuven's not yotze. Well, we know that Shimon is not yotze because Shimon never had a split second in which his nair was separate. But Reuven lechora, the Pinsker Avbezdin is right. Reuven should be yotze even if it went out afterwards. So what's the difference if it went out because of Shimon or went out because of the wind? So here the poskim want to say that there's a halacha, I'm going to give it my own language here, called kahoots. If we're all in cahoots, meaning if we're working together, and it was set up from the get-go that Reuven would light and then Shimon would light, etc., etc., then it's called a madora even as far as Reuven is concerned. And the poskim compared this to the following case. This is not kavsa ein zakakla. This is not a case where you lit the candle and then, oh no, there was a storm and it was unpredictable and the wind came and blew my candle out. That's kavsa ein zakakla. But there is a case of kavsa zakakla, say the poskim. And that's a case where as soon as he lit the candle, the wind was there. In other words, he knew that this candle had no lasting, what word am I using? Had no
longevity. No chance.
No longevity. Yeah, I'm looking for a different word. No,
no chance.
No, not a chance. That no...
reasonable chance.
No. I'm looking for a word that means upstanding in English. In other words, it had no...
sustainability.
No resilience. You know, no sustainability. Okay, maybe we'll call it that. So therefore, the Avbezdin of Pinsk is, according to these poskim, is making a big mistake. He's looking at the nair, and he says, "Look, for 1 second, the nair is lighting brightly, and even if now it becomes a madora the minute that Shimon lights his candle, but nevertheless, kovsein zakakla, you know, that 1 split second is enough to clinch the mitzvah nair Chanukah. That's a mistake." Because we have a case where everybody agrees that kavsa zakakla. And that's a case where the wind factor was up front and we knew and it was predictable that the wind would blow out the candle. So even though, he covered the candle for a split second, you know what I mean? He was able to stave off the punishment for 1 second. But it doesn't matter. It was already destined from the beginning that this ner would go out. So that's a ner ha'omed lihichabos from the tchilasa. So they want to say that if Reuven and Shimon were in cahoots, they belong to the same they're members of the same club. And Reuven said to Shimon, you know what? I'll light first, you light second. Or Shimon said, you know, I want to give you the cover, you light first, and then I'll light. And they knew it was going to be Kama Madura. And the factors were on the ground. Now, you and I might say the following. If there are natural forces, okay, that means that he didn't light the Nair in a Makom Sharoi Lidolik. No, the Hadlok has to be, in and of itself, on a natural level, something that could last. Okay, circumstances changed. It was unpredictable. And a wind came. So you were Yotze. But if it was predictable, then you didn't even create a Nair on a natural level that's royally Chavos. But in a case of two people who are in cahoots, it's really Shimon, the second Madlik, who undermines the candle of Reuven. So even though Reuven knew up front that Shimon was going to do so, you know, Shimon might all of a sudden decide, I'm not going to do so, I'll be Yotze with your candle, or whatever it is. But Shimon is considered an independent agent. And insofar as Shimon operates with his own decision, his own intellect, he doesn't have the authority or the power to do something actively that will undermine the Nair. So in a natural sense, when Reuven lit his Nair, then according to the laws of nature, that Nair would last for a full half hour. But now human intervention, and Shimon comes along and he lights it. So you could say, according to the Pinskerov, it all depends on certainty or not certainty. Since we are absolutely certain that this candle will immediately become a Madora when Shimon lights his candle, that itself is equivalent to a natural factor, like a wind factor, which sets up the candle, is Eino Roy, it doesn't have that long life to it, long shelf life. But the other poskim will say, no, as far as Reuven is concerned, in the natural universe, his Nair can last for as long as it has to last. Shimon now intervenes, and even though we are certain that Shimon is going to be, because actually Reuven and Shimon are working in cahoots, but nevertheless, that doesn't undermine the status of the Nair. Shimon was the one who blew out, so to speak, Reuven's candle. And if Reuven lights a candle and Shimon blows it out, then clearly we're going to apply the principle of Kavsa Ein Sokka. So Rav Moshe, just to summarize, on this sugya of Madora, we have a basic machlokas about when do we apply Madora. Do we passel even the first hadlok of Reuven? Because at the moment that Reuven lit his candle, it was not a Madora. So according to one school of thought that's represented by the Pinsker Rosh Hashiva, that case is not a psul, meaning Reuven's candle is not a Madora. According to the other school of thought, since we have certainty and we know that Reuven's candle is not going to last much more than a minute, because Shimon is about to light his candle and that's going to be a Madora based on the structure of the pios, then that's equivalent to a case where the laws of nature have already determined from the get-go that this Nair has no longevity to it. Now, you know that I have a Masifta which has what's called the Yalkut HaBi'urim in the back. This is a compilation anthology of different Rishonim and Poskim on various issues that come up in the sugya itself. Now, we established, if you recall, that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. On the other hand, a katan is not obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because he's not obligated in any mitzvah. And therefore, if a katan lights a candle, then we don't recognize that candle, that adlaka, as far as a gadol is concerned. It's great for the katan, because that's a mitzvah of what? Chinuch. But as far as the gadol is concerned, you can't be yotze. Tosus points out, however, let's just review, that if you hold Hanocha Osam Mitzvah, then I don't care if the Katan lit the candle, as long as the Gadol takes the candle and he puts it down in its proper place, that's enough to fulfill the Mitzvah. Now we have a radical Chiddush of the Baal HaItur. Now the Baal HaItur was one of the Chachmei Sfarad who, whenever you hear him quoted, you know he's going to say something that no one else is going to agree with. It's almost like 99%. So if you want to know what's not going to be the accepted view, then look for the Baal HaItur. The man was a revolutionary thinker. And this is no exception. Says the Baal HaItur, when the Gemara says that since we paskin hadlakos of mitzvah, a katan who lights the menorah is possible, and we got to basically start from scratch. He says, "Dafka katan shalohi gia lechinuch." Usually, the age of chinuch would be 9. Let's say again, it's very complicated. You'd have to sit zayin nikiyim to figure out exactly when the shir of chinuch is. But let's just say it's 9. So, if an 8-year-old child lights the ner Chanukah, got to start from scratch. It's meaningless. It's invalid. But avol im hakatan igia lechinuch yachol lahotzi acherim yidecho vaso badlokas ner chanuk. Unbelievable. We've never encountered this anything parallel to this concept where a katan sheigia lechinuch could be motzi a gadol. Doesn't make any sense. There is one exceptional case, but I don't even want to mention it because it's a whole nother sugya. What happens if a gadol eats only a kezayis of lechem and a katan eats a kebetza? So it could be, according to one sheet in Rishonim, Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, that the katan, if he's a gil lechinuch, he can bench on behalf of the gadol. Why? Because the gadol himself is only chayv midrabbanan. So you can take two drabbanans and square it off. And one drabbanan can be motzi another drabbanan. But if they're both on the same level, then a katan could never be motzi of gadol. It's only if the katan is on a higher level and we reduce the level of the gadol, then we might say we can square it off. But if all things are equal, like for example the mitzvah ner Chanukah, for example, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a katan can't read the Megillah on behalf of gadol. Again, it's very nice if a katan reads the Megillah on behalf of himself as the mitzvah of chinuch, but he can't be motzi you or I. Why? Because his chiyuv is not a real chiyuv. It's only a chinuch chiyuv. It's like a quasi chiyuv. But our chiyuv, as a regular classical chiyuv, he can't be motzi us. The same logically should apply to Ner Chanukah. Comes along Baal HaItur, he says, "Nay, in all the mitzvahs, a katan, even if he's gil chiyuv, cannot be motzi a go. But the one exception is Ner Chanukah." And I'm always fascinated when I get to a sugya like Ner Chanukah and I find that Ner Chanukah is all of a sudden an exception to the rule. What is the logical reason why the Baal HaItur sees Ner Chanukah as the exception to the rule?
Pearson?
Uh-huh.
Because if the Gadol for some reason can't light it with Pearson in mind, so you let the Katan do it so that the house doesn't have any proper lighting.
Okay, maybe you could say it's Pearson, but again, Pearson has to come through a Maisa Adlaka. You know, you can't just say, well, you know, there are lights here. You know, I could light a candle on Tu B'Shvat, and if it has enough oil, it'll last till Chanukah. That doesn't mean it's Pearson. It's got to be a Ner Chanukah. And in order to be a Ner Chanukah, you need a Maisa Adlaka.
Maybe the Chashad factor of yesterday? That if it's the house is dark on Chanukah, it's going to be a problem for the whole house? And even a katan can light.
Again, we're not in a case of chashad. Let's say, for example, I mean, Ben's asking an interesting question. What would be in a chatzah sheyesh la shtei psachim on two ruchos? Can I light on one ruach and have a katan light on the other ruach? Maybe since the other ruach is only midin chashada, not like the prima godin that we discussed. So then maybe a katan would be enough to remove chashada. But the Baal HaItur is saying that there's, you know, there's no mitzvah ner Chanukah. The katan is the only one who lit the ner. And since he's igil lechinuch, I'm yotzei my mitzvah. So it seems that the Bala Itur is working with a different set of assumptions than what we're working with. We're working with the assumption that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, you need a hadlaka, which is recognized in the universal sense of halacha as a maisa hadlaka, which would mean that a katan is excluded. The Bala Itur is working with a different set of premises. What defines hadlaka of Ner Chanukah? Creating a Ner Chanukah. If you create a Ner Chanukah, and at the end of the day, that Ner is a Ner Chanukah, it has the status of a Ner Chanukah, then you fulfilled your mitzvah of hadlaka. And now the Bala Itur wants to know the following. It's true that if we analyze Maisa Hadlaka Ner Chanukah from the perspective of universal Maisa Hadlaka, katan is excluded. But if we have a new definition of Maisa Hadlaka, that my definition of Maisa Hadlaka depends upon the creation of a Ner, and that Ner has the status of a Ner Chanukah, then it could be, says the Bala Itur, that the katan, even though universally doesn't have, he's not capable of a Maisa Hadlaka, but he can create a Ner Chanukah. And if he can create an Ner Chanukah, then ipso facto his Maisa Hadlaka becomes a Maisa Hadlaka. So in other words, normally we start with the analysis of a Maisa and Halacha in and of itself. In the case of Ner Chanukah, my analysis of the Maisa depends upon the result of the Maisa. I work backwards, so to speak. If at the end of the day I can create an Ner Chanukah, then that's called a Maisa Hadlaka. Whatever the Halacha recognizes as a Ner Chanukah, then whatever created that Ner Chanukah is by definition a Maisa Hadlaka. If the Katan could create a Ner Chanukah, then he has a Maisa Hadlaka. He doesn't have a Maisa from the standards of universal Halacha, but as far as Hadlaka is Ner Chanukah, he has a Maisa Hadlaka. What makes it into a Maisa Hadlaka? The final result. He creates a Ner Chanukah. So the Bala Itur asks himself the following question. Can a Katan create a Ner Chanukah? And the answer is what?
Yes.
Still, I'm looking for one word that starts with a ches, ends with a chav.
Chinuch.
It all depends on chinuch. If there's a mitzvah of chinuch, then chinuch means that he created a ner chanuk. And I'll prove it to you. The halacha says that chinuch has to be fulfilled with a chefza shel mitzvah. What do I mean? Let's say I want to train and educate my child to do the mitzvah of Esrog on Sukkos. And, you know, I'm a little bit cheap. I don't want to spend too much money on an Esrog. The Esrogim are going very high this year. I'm going to buy him a lemon. He won't know the difference. And it could be you and I won't know the difference because it looks pretty similar to an Esrog. That's not the mitzvah of Chinuch. The mitzvah of Chinuch requires that this Esrog be royal mitzvah. It's what's called a chefza shel mitzvah. The only difference is that the katan is not obligated in the mitzvah l'kachtem lochem of netilas esrog, but he's obligated midin chinuch. The obligation midin chinuch is predicated on the assumption that he has a chefza shel mitzvah, because if he doesn't have the chefza shel mitzvah, then there's no chinuch. So for a katan to light a ner and say that that's chinuch, that would only make sense if that ner is a ner chanukah, meaning it has the status of a chefza shel mitzvah. If it's a secular ner, then that's not chinuch. So therefore, says the Bala Itur, since the halacha recognizes chinuch with regard to ner katan, well, with regard to ner chanukah, then ipso facto it must mean that the katan could create a ner chanukah. Comes along the Bala Itur, and here's the revolutionary chiddush. Meaning, if you were only to tell me, you know, a katan could create an Ner Chanukah because of the mitzvah of chinuch, that's a halva chiddush, that's half of a chiddush. But here's the main chiddush. The Bala Itur says that if he can create an Ner Chanukah, then he has a Maisa Hadlaka. And therefore, the katan can do a Maisa Hadlaka if he's a gil chinuch on behalf of Gadol, which is absolutely antithetical to everything we know in the entire structure of Allah. And Ner Chanukah becomes a unique mitzvah because the purpose and the goal of the Ner Chanukah of the Hadlaka is to create a Ner Chanukah. If you can only create a Ner Chanukah, then you could be Yotzei. And I think I found a parallel to this Bala Itur. The Beis Yosef writes that a guest in a shul, means he sleeps in the shul, he can fulfill his obligation in Ner Chanukah with the Ner that they light in the Beis HaKnesses. Now, the lighting of the Beis HaKnesses is not a lighting of Ner Chanukah for the Chovas Gavra, meaning if I'm obligated. So, take for example, on the first night of Chanukah, maybe we'll discuss this more in the Iyun. On the first night of Chanukah, they honor me to light the Ner in the Beis HaKnesses. And we're lighting before Meiriv. So I've been lit yet. So now I go home and I light my Ner Chanukah. Can I be Yotze with the Ner that I lit in the Beis HaKnesses? No. The Ner in the Beis HaKnesses, that's a Zechel, the Beis HaMikdash, that's a new entity. But it doesn't fulfill my personal obligation. And yet, the Beis Yosef says that an Achsenoy who lives in the shul on a temporary basis, he can fulfill his mitzvah with the Ner Shel Beis HaKnesses. Why? The answer is because since there's a halacha Beis HaKnesses, and that requires an Ner Chanukah, then the Neros in the Beis HaKnesses gain the status of what? Of a Ner Chanukah. So if he participates in a halacha that sets up a Ner Chanukah, then he's Yotze. And the Balaita wants to apply this to the case of a katan shigiyah lechinu. A katan has the capacity to set up a chefza of ner chanukah, meaning a ner chanukah that has the status of a ner chanukah. Now, he goes on and he asks the following question. The Gemara establishes that women are obligated in the mitzvah of ner chanukah. So the Elio Rabbah, who was one of the Ashkenazic poskim about 2 centuries ago, he writes that she should be Yotze with the hadlaka of her husband. And the Achronim later poskim say that that only applies to a married woman. A single woman should certainly light on her own. Why? Because the Elio Rabbah is only arguing that there's a special relationship between a husband and a wife that's called Ishto Kigufo, and therefore she's Yotze with his hadlaka. But in the case of a single woman, she doesn't have a husband, so then presumably the Elio Rabbah would encourage that she light her own Ner Chanukah. So here the Chassam Sofer comes up with a chiddush. Now again, this is not going to be politically correct here, but it's a Chassam Sofer. I didn't write the script. And he says the following, Bizmanenu ein noshim adlikos. Women don't light Ner Chanukah. Again, this is in Prejburg 150 years ago. Women do not light Ner Chanukah. Why? Mishum she'ikar hatakona hoysa lahadlik Ner Chanukah b'chutz. V'ein derech isha who would think that there's any overlap between Tznius and Ner Chanukah? I mean, it's so totally foreign to us. And the Chassam Sofer postulates such an overlap. And he says that even though we light in the house, so again we have two chidushim here. Number one, the Chassam Sofer says that we light in the house. And number two, he says that the women don't light. So he asks the following question. If the women are not lighting according to Abminig because of Kol Kvodo Basmel Pnima, that's based on the fact that Ner Chanukah is Bachutz, now we're lighting on the inside, so therefore there should be no problem with Tznius. He says, Af Bizmanenu Shemadlikim Toch HaBayis Nishar HaMinog Bimkomo. The Minog remains the same. The Eino Isha Madlekes Klal. Why? Because our Ner Chanukah has to reflect the original Ner Chanukah that was lit outside the house, Bachutz. And Michael, are you with me? Because this touches on what you raised yesterday, that, you know, we speak about the Zman of Ner Chanukah, right? We said, Achetichle Regel Min Ashuk. So you might say the following, that made sense back in the day, but today we light Chanukah inside the house, right? That's what Gemara says, that we can light Chanukah inside the house. So who cares about Achetichle Regel Min Ashuk? Does the entire enterprise of Achetichle Regel Min Ashuk go down the tubes? And now the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah has changed completely. Don't compare Ner Chanukah today to Ner Chanukah of yesteryear. And drop the ball on Achetichle Regel Min Ashuk. So it seems from the Chassam Sofer that even though we're lighting on the inside, we still do everything that we can to retain the vestiges of resemblance to the original, you know, pristine Ner Chanukah in its ideal form, which was Bachutz. And even if we're lighting Bifnim, to the extent that we can, we want to still fulfill those aspects or those requirements of Ner Shebachutz. That's an interesting point. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if Noshim Rotzos, if the women want a light, Yecholos Lahadlik. So even though it seems that the Mishnah Berurah was well aware of the minog of the Chasam Sofer, nevertheless he says we're not bound by that minog, and women can light. Uyecholos Levarch, and they can make a brach. And he says the following. That you might ask the following question. If we're applying the rule of Ishto Kegufo, then the very moment that her husband lived, she was Yotzei the Mitzvah. So how could she now make a bracha on her own adlaka? Unless again we had that proviso that she had kavana not to be Yotzei with her husband's lighting.
You have to.
Oh, so the Mishnah Berurah says an unbelievable chiddush. You want to hear this? Today we're learning a lot of chiddushim. Says the Mishnah Berurah that there's such a thing as a voluntary mitzvah. Now this is a gigantic controversy between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. The Rambam paskins that there's no such thing as a voluntary mitzvah for a woman. The only exception that the Rambam recognizes is Talmud Torah. That even though a woman is exempt from Talmud Torah, she can voluntarily learn Torah. But in all other cases, women are going to be discouraged from fulfilling a voluntary mitzvah. What do I mean by a voluntary mitzvah? Mitzvah seishas man groma, time bound mitzvah. Leave out the women. And the Rambam is so worried about that if you allow the women to fulfill these mitzvahs, like lulav or shofar, all these time bound mitzvahs, then they'll come to make a bracha. And a bracha is a bracha of atol. Now, the Rambam doesn't tolerate a bracha on a voluntary mitzvah. There's no such thing. A bracha is asher kidshanu v'mitzosav. What's the next word? Vitzivan. If there's no vitzivan, leave out the bracha. And the Rambam is so concerned about the possibility of a bracha of atola that he doesn't even want the women to do these mitzvahs. And the Shulchan Aruch accepted the Rambam's view, and therefore Sephardic women will not recite a bracha on a time-bound mitzvah to this very day. And Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Rambam, and Rabbeinu Tam holds that a woman could voluntarily fulfill a mitzvah, and if she does so, she'll be rewarded as what's called an Eino Mitzuva Viosa, someone who volunteers for a mitzvah, and says Rabbeinu Tam, she could even make a bracha. So when you and I see women, and all of our ladies in our lives will make a bracha on lulav and sukkah and so forth and so on, don't think that that's a dover portion. You know, that's true because you're an Ashkenazic Jew, but if you are a Sephardic Jew, don't even dream about it. A woman will not make a bracha. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, since we passing like Rabbeinu Tam, us Ashkenazim, what the Israelis call vuzvuzim, have you ever heard that phrase? Of course, you know, in Yiddish, vuzvuz, you know, so they made it into a phrase, vuzvuzim. So us vuzvuzim, we allow women to make a bracha, we even encourage women to make a bracha on a voluntary basis. So Enochinami, as far as the strict letter of the law, her husband lit the Ner Chanukah, and she was Yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, but she wants to light it on her own. And that's like a voluntary mitzvah. And on a voluntary mitzvah, she's allowed to make a bracha. The Pella here, that's what I'm telling you, this is an unbelievable chiddush, that in the case of a voluntary mitzvah, she hasn't fulfilled that mitzvah. So for example, she hasn't taken the lulav. So now she can make a bracha according to Rabbeinu Tam. But here, through the mechanism of Ishto Kegufo, she was Yotze with her husband's lighting. So now to say that this is like a mitzvah seishas man groma, where she can volunteer for the mitzvah and make a bracha on it, that's a major jump. In the case of mitzvah seishas man groma, she wasn't Yotze. This is her first opportunity to take the lulav or to sit in the sukkah. But here, she already had the opportunity to be Yotze through her husband. So I'm tempted to think, but this is dog fetishkach. What I'm telling you now is absolutely wrong, that the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a case where a woman has in mind that she won't be Yotzei with her husband's kin. But the Mishnah Berurah is not operating with that premise. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah holds like the Taz that ishto kigufo, which means that when he lights the candle, it's in effect equivalent to her lighting the candle. And yet, for the sake of a voluntary mitzvah, he allows her to make a brach. The only way I could really understand this Mishnah Brura, again, according to my limited understanding, is that he's talking about Mahajrin. And this raises a very fundamental question. Is there a bracha on Hidur Mitzvah when that bracha is purely, totally justified by the Hidur Mitzvah? Generally speaking, the rule is no. Hidur Mitzvah doesn't get a bracha. Hidur Mitzvah is a tag on. You know, it envelops and embellishes and beautifies a mitzvah that you're fulfilling, but you make the bracha on the mitzvah, you don't make the bracha on the Hidur. And I think I told you this many times about Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim says, first take the esrog that's a suffix lemon, because it's a beautiful esrog, and on the side that it turns out to be an esrog, if you're lucky, then you makayim the Hidur. But if you would take the low-class, you know, basic esrog first, and then take the suffix lemon that's mahuda, you forfeited the possibility of having Hidur mitzvah, because you're on a yotze yachiv. Here's a case where you yotze yachiv, and you're going to go ahead and implement the mitzvah as a Hidur mitzvah, and you're going to even make a bracha on it. Unbelievable. This breaks all the, you know, again, it's another case of the exceptions to the rule of universal mitzvahs, and Ner Chanukah is an entity on its own, stands on its own 2 feet, to such an extent that on the Hidur mitzvah, you can make a bracha, even though you fulfilled your basic mitzvah. Are women obligated in Hallel on Chanukah? Hallel is a classical case of a mitzvah saseh shazman grom. So there's a Tosis in Masechtas Sukkah who says that even though a woman is exempt from Hallel on Sukkot and on Shavuos, however, she's obligated in Hallel on Leil HaPesach. Why? Because the Gemara establishes that a woman is obligated in Dalit Kosos, and each Kos has its own bracha, and one of the four brachos for the four Kosos is the Kos Shel Hallel. So if women are obligated in Arba Kosos, Tosfos says, ipso facto, they're obligated in Hallel. So it means that when the Rabbanon established the Takon of Arba Kosos, then they included women in that Takon, despite the fact that Arba Kosos is a classical mitzvah seishas man groma, they obligated women, then the Hallel is also obligatory. By the way, one of the four Kosos is the Kos of Magid. That means that women, according to Tosfos' logic, will be obligated in Haggadah. And Rabosai, I can't overemphasize this, because a lot of women, you know, they're so busy, we are preparing the, I shouldn't say Knedlach, because none of you guys eat kebabs, but she's preparing the roast chicken, or whatever she's preparing, and a million and one other things, that she... And even if she's not in the kitchen during the Maggid, she's asleep at the table during the Maggid because she's absolutely exhausted, right? So you have to wake her up because she's obligated in the midst of Maggid. And Tosfos says she's also obligated in the midst of Hallel on Leil HaPesach. However, Hallel of the Regel, for example, in the case of Sukkot and Shavuos, that Hallel is a mitzvah seishas man groma, and she's exempt from that mitzvah. But Hallel Shel Leil HaPesach is the Hallel of celebrating the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and women are part of that obligation. And therefore, not only are they obligated in Dalet Kosos, but they're also obligated in the Hallel of Leil HaPesach. Now, Tosfos doesn't mention Hallel on Chanukah. Presumably, Hallel on Chanukah is another example of Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma, and women would be exempt. But yet women are obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Why? Because Ner Chanukah commemorates a miracle, and Afein Hoyev also on this. So he quotes here a number of Achronim who suggest that just like Leil HaPesach obligates women in Hallel, because that's part of the package deal with the Dalet Kosos, V'Afein Hoyev also on this, Gama Miras Hallel Shel Chanukah, since the Hallel of Chanukah is also on the miracle, and Afein Hoyubosa on this, therefore they become obligated in the midst of Hallel. Now, Rabosa, I don't know if we should say this out loud. You know, this is like, let's keep this as a secret amongst us. I mean, if you're married to a woman who's totally dedicated to whatever she has to do, and she never falls short of what she has to do, then tell her that she should be reciting Hallel on Chanukah. But if your women are, you know, a little bit iffy, you know, better not tell them about the mitzvah of Hallel, because, you know, mutav shiv shogeg, better that they don't know about it. Now he quotes the Stei Chemed. The Stei Chemed was a great Rav, a Sephardic rabbi in Yerushalayim over a century ago. And he says, based on his reading of the Rambam, that women are exempt from Hallel even on Chanukah. The Rambam writes that if a katan or an isha read Hallel on behalf of a gadol, then on Chanukah, you're not yotzei unless onach reim, unless you repeat word for word after her. Apparently, if you don't repeat word for word, her Hallel will not be enough to be motzi the man, because she's not obligated in Hallel, and she doesn't share that chiyuv. Says this, Stei Chemed, women are exempt from Hallel on Chanukah. So again, I don't know whether you want to go with those poskim who say that women are obligated because afein hoyu and they should be reciting Hallel on Chanukah. You want to go with the Stei Chemed who says that women are not obligated in Hallel on Chanukah. I think it should all depend upon your favorite lady. You know, if she's willing to take upon herself to recite Hallel 8 days of Chanukah, then tell her about the Ashkenazim who insist that afein hoyu vosan nes obligates them in Hallel. But now I want to ask you a different question. Can a woman light Ner Chanukah on behalf of a man? And the reason why that question comes up to the fore, and I mentioned it yesterday, is because of the Shitas HaBahag. The Bahag holds that in Kriyas HaMegillah, although the Gemara applies the principle of Af Hein Hoyu, and the women have to hear the Megillah, but nevertheless the Bahag insists that a woman cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a man. What about in the case of Ner Chanukah? So the Ritva writes that when the Gemara says Isha Madlika, it means that she could light Ner Chanukah even on behalf of a man, because she shares the same chiyuv as a man. And then he writes, Ein adin kein b'mikra Megillah, but in Mikra Megillah the din is not the same. Afal pisha chayeves b'mikra Megillah, ein on motzios acherim yidei chovasa. So the Ritva doesn't give us a logical clue as to what the difference between Ner Chanukah and Megillah is. In the case of Megillah, a woman cannot be motzi a man in Megillah, says the Ritva. That's based on the Bahag Shita. But in the case of Adloka, a woman can light a Ner Chanukah on behalf of a man. And I believe that this Ritva is really another expression of the Balaita that we started with today. The Balaita says that the Katan Igia L'chinuch, he can light a Ner Chanukah on behalf of a Gadol. How could that be? So we answer because he can create a Ner Chanukah because he's Igil Chinuch. And Chinuch itself upgrades his Ner to the status of a Ner Chanukah. We could certainly say the same thing for a woman with a Kal V'chomer, that a woman certainly could create a Cheftza Shel Ner Chanukah. And you don't even have to introduce Chinuch because Afein Hoyu Vosan Nes. So since a woman is obligated to light Ner Chanukah, even if her Chiyuv is not identical to that of a man, and it's on a lower madrig in terms of its intensity, and that's the Bahag in Mikra Megillah, but nevertheless, she can create a Cheftza Shel Ner Chanukah. And once she can create a Ner Chanukah, then her Hadlaka is recognized as Hadlaka. And that's what I think underlies this Ritva.
Was Ritva saying she could go to somebody else other than her husband, or only her husband?
I would say it applies to anybody. It's not limited. He doesn't limit it to a husband. He says, Afil lahotzi acherim yidei chobos. He doesn't say, lahotzi as baila yidei chobos. I see we're going to have to stop. Let me just add one line here from the Me'iri. And the Me'iri says, like the Ritva, that a woman could light Ner Chanukah on behalf of a man. And he says that according to some mafarshim, when it says Isha Vari Madlika, that's Dafka Lahotzi Es Atzma, Vol Eini Yechol Lahotzi Acherim. And then the Me'iri says, Ein Divrem Klum. Don't pay any attention to those who fool you, and they mistakenly, you know, misconstruct or misrepresent the halacha, and they say that a woman cannot light on behalf of a man. However, again, we saw that there are Rishonim who say that a woman, just like she can't read the Megillah on behalf of a man, cannot light Ner Chanukah on behalf of a man. And I don't know if you ever heard of the Rav Yo, was one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. Rav Lichtenstein, all of a sudden, made the Rav Yo very popular. I mean, in the yeshivas, they heard of the Rav Yo, but they don't really study the Rav Yo, you know, in a systematic way. The Rav Lichtenstein introduced a systematic learning of the Rav Yo. The Rav Yo vacillates back and forth, as to whether a woman can indeed be motzi a man in their chanuk. He doesn't come to any definite conclusion. Okay then? So we'll stop here. I wish everyone a good day.
Are we using these?
Yes. Yes. We'll be using them both in the later class and in the earlier class. In the later class, we'll use it today, I think. And again, if the print is too small, Michael, then just go over the photocopy. You could expand. You could enlarge it.